From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstone on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside is Nick Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. Our producer, Lee Delapina, reunited once again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us tuned in on Sirius 219 XM Channel 201. Of course, on our affiliates in Lexington and Louisville and across the country, and streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with us over the course of the next 2 hours as we get you set for what is going to be a very busy day at Churchill Downs in Louisville. That's just about an hour west of where we are positioned right now. Stars of Tomorrow 2, a program featuring all juvenile races, including a couple of really good two-year-old stakes races. We're going to tell you more about that as we move throughout the program with special guests. JT, this is also the time of the year when we start to, believe it or not, talk about that first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses. 161 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 39 seconds until that Run for the Roses on May 4th, 2019.
That 161 days is probably the fastest 161 days of the year because we'll undoubtedly be sitting here and you'll say it's 7 days, you know.
It goes quick, doesn't it?
42 hours, whatever. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And of course, you know, I've been working on it since the summertime, since Saratoga.
Have you started to compile a list of your top juveniles and derby prospects at this point?
Yeah. I've been, you know, I don't like spend hours and hours on it, but as I write the reports that I write, I'll put a horse on the list and, you know, just kind of gather them up more than anything.
Yeah.
Not really like ranking them or whatever, but horses that I've seen that I like the way they look or like the way they've been running, even if they're not necessarily winning or winning stakes or whatever, just horses that I think might have a chance.
Well, believe it or not, you can actually bet the Kentucky Derby this weekend. That's right. The first Kentucky Derby future wager pool is out there now, and it runs through tomorrow. So if you go to KentuckyDerby.com, I think you can bet it at TwinSpires.com. You can go there and bet on the horse you feel is the Derby winner right now. But again, it's a future wager bet, so there's a lot of risk involved in doing this at this point. So you better get some value if you're going to play a horse in the future wagers, especially sitting here on November 24th.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't take 8-1 or something.
you know. That's a good point. That'll be our poll question for today, right? If you are making if you're going to bet a horse in the Derby futures, okay, what is the minimum number of odds? I'm trying to say this the right way so our Chauncey Sean C can put this out there on Twitter for listeners. But if you're making a Kentucky Derby future wager, what are the minimum odds you'll accept?
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Right. So how about for you? If you're going to make a bet here today, what are the minimum odds?
I would say probably 30. You know, I usually don't bet the first one. I let it go, but there's a couple horses that are on the list at 30s and 50s. The question that I want to ask Ed DeRosa is, why did they start it today? Why didn't they start it last week? Because, you know, it ends on Sunday, and we're going to have the results of a lot of these two-year-old races. And so the prices would be bigger if they started it last week than they would after the results are done. Now that's good for it's good and it's bad. You're not getting a big price on some horses that maybe you liked before everybody else, but you might avoid betting on a horse that doesn't run well, and maybe you've cooled on their chances. So
yeah, and it could go the other way too, where if you do like a horse that's running this weekend, let's say in the Kentucky Jockey Club, let's say it's Signal Man, for example, just for argument's sake, and let's say he throws in a clunker today, right, but you're still a believer. You say, okay, it's just one bad race. Now you're going to get even better odds on Signal Man.
That's true too. You know, it just seems like that what people that bet the future bets, they obviously thrive on uncertainty.
Yep.
Because if your horse doesn't make it to the race, you lose your money. I mean, it's a vacuum cleaner for cash, you know? So I always tell people that want to bet it, I think it's a fun thing to do. I enjoy, you know, playing, but I don't play a lot of money in it. I'll, you know, bet $10 on a horse or something if I'm getting a massive price. But
There is a definite strategy involved, though, yeah, right? There is.
If you had a crystal ball, it wouldn't make any difference what price the horse was.
Yeah, and
you just keep plugging in.
Well, that's the thing, too. We don't know who the favorite is going to be on the first Saturday in May, right? Now, the favorite in the future wager right now is the undefeated Breeders' Cup Juvenile Winner Game Winner from the barn of Bob Baffert. And he's going to be the juvenile champion. There's no doubt about it. He is the current favorite at odds of 6-1 in the future wager. Now, let's just take him for argument's sake here. If you like Game Winner, if you think he's the Derby winner, if you're all in on him and you're sold on him and you say, okay, he's going to remain undefeated, he's going to get to Churchill next year, he's going to be the heavy favorite for the Derby. Do you take 6-1 today?
I wouldn't, but I mean, you know, if you think he's going to be prohibitive favorite for the Derby.
But what's that? 5-2?
Yeah, I mean, somewhere between 8-5 and 5-2. You know, if he goes in there undefeated and he's blown everybody away, you know, maybe he will be.
Maybe he's 2-1, 5-2 in a 20 horse field.
Right.
So then you look at this 6-1, you say, this is good value.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, but it's very, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is a good rule of thumb.
Yep.
So I think it's, to me, it's more like finding some horse that nobody knows about, you know, or just a handful of people, a horse that's coming into his own, or maybe a horse that isn't, you know, on the radar right now, but could be later on. That's what I think you got to look for. You got to look for a horse that maybe has a pedigree for a mile and a quarter that, you know, he's been running in sprint races and he's shown some ability, but when he stretches out, he's going to be good, something like that.
Yeah, and you know, and when I say that Game Winner is the favorite in the wagering, he is the favorite among the individual choices that you can choose from when you're playing this Derby future wager here this weekend. There are a total of, 22?
Individuals.
Yeah, 22 individuals, and then you have the other category, which is all other three-year-old males, which is technically the favorite, 6-5 on everybody outside of those 22. You can also bet this year on all other three-year-old fillies, which the odds there are 71-1, and of course you have to have a filly get into the race in order to make that happen, so probably not the
But Churchill Downs being dipped in luck like they are, got a filly to win against the Colts yesterday Japan. So now that's actually, it's actually a viable category.
It could happen.
I mean, 10 points isn't going to get you in the Derby, right? But it's a start, right?
Yeah.
You know,
You know, the only other horse that's in single digits outside of Game Winner among the body of the field is another Bob Baffert trainee. That's Coliseum, who is a maiden winner, broke his maiden very impressively. That's it. Everybody else is double digits in there. Coliseum is 9-1. Bob kind of taking the unconventional route to trying to win the Derby and the Triple Crown because this horse had to start at 2.
So, yeah.
Doing
he's,
it a little differently
bucking,
this year.
He's bucking recent history.
I don't know. Well, you can do that. We're going to talk about the juvenile picture because of that Stars of Tomorrow 2 program at Churchill Downs. We're going to talk about the Derby future wager. Jude mentioned the name Ed DeRosa from Brisnet.com and from Twin Spires. Ed is also part of our Brisnet.com call-in show. He co-hosts that show every Thursday night with Anthony Stabile here on the network. He's going to be with us shortly after 8:35 Eastern. We'll talk to him about the future wager. We'll talk to him about those juvenile stakes races that are taking place at Churchill later today. Mark Toothaker is going to be with us right around 8:15 or so, maybe 5 or 6 minutes from right now. Mark is with Spendthrift Farm. They send out Blue Steel, who is an exciting early Derby prospect. He goes postward in the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill later today. They also have several offspring of their stallions competing in those big races at Churchill. So we'll talk to Mark from Spendthrift first, then Ed DeRosa will be our second guest later in this first half of the program. Hour two kicks off with trainer Brad Cox. And what a year it has been for trainer Brad Cox. He ends up saddling milestone winner number 1,000 not too long ago, about a week ago or so. Then he comes back. Of course, he had Monomoy Girl, and he had all kinds of really good horses this year. And he comes back with Leo Frick and takes the Clark Handicap yesterday at Churchill. How cool is that?
Yeah. No, that was – he figured. You know, he was coming into the race in fine shape, obviously, and ran a very game race. He's a really solid horse. I really like that horse. He tries really hard every time.
Brad did his best. He messed up our show this morning because I had it all laid out. I said, here's what I'm going to do. After Brad joins us at 9 o'clock, the following segment at 9:21, I'm going to reserve for the winner of the Clark Handicap. And we'll have the winner on, and we'll talk to him or her about winning the Clark Handicap. Well, that didn't work because Brad won it. He's going to be on for 9 o'clock. We'll keep him for a little longer.
Yeah, we'll just talk to him for 40 minutes.
I'm sure mini trainer talk.
I'm sure he'll be thrilled. He's got tons of horses to train. Although, I don't know, the weather was fierce last night, and they said in Louisville it was going to be even worse.
Yeah. So,
looks like it's starting to knock off now, but it's still very cloudy here in Lexington.
Yeah, probably going to be a wet racetrack for those races at Churchill Downs later today. All right, once again, here's our poll question before we get to our first break. You can weigh in at HRRN. That's on our Twitter feed. You can also go to Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and answer this question. If you're making a Kentucky Derby future wager, what are the minimum odds that you will accept on that horse? It's that simple. Let us know. Will you take 8-1, 12-1? Does your horse have to be 20-1 or better? Or do odds not matter? We want to hear from you right now. You can do that at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to our first break. We'll come back and visit with Mark Toothaker from Spendthrift next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Classic Empire turning for home with a 2.5-length lead. Cloud Computing has moved into second. Always Dreaming has dropped back through the field. They're coming into the final furlong. Classic Empire, here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire digs in. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness. Senior Investment was third, and Always Dreaming finished near the rear of the field. So it is Javier Castellano getting the Preakness with Cloud Computing just over Classic Empire in the Preakness Stakes.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Larry Colmus had the call of that Preakness victory by Cloud Computing last year, giving Chad Brown his first victory in a classic race, and no doubt the first of many more to come for Chad. But Cloud Computing, now retired and heading off to Spendthrift to stand stud, he will join a roster that includes so many notable stallions and so many that are having an impact on the sport each and every day. And to help tell us more about that is our good friend Mark Toothaker from Spendthrift. Mark, appreciate the time, my friend. Good morning.
Hey, Mike, Jude, thank you guys for letting me join you on this old rainy, muddy day here in the Bluegrass. I love that call. That had my heart beating there listening to that, waiting to come on. Just an amazing performance, and we're so happy to have Cloud Computing join our roster. We like, I guess, most of the farms in Central Kentucky, we're sure looking at that horse after the Preakness, and I know he had kind of an ankle injury that hurt his career and kind of brought it to an end there in the last few weeks, and we were so lucky, though, to be able to land him, and he's our first classic winner, just like he was Chad's first classic winner. He's our first classic winner to stand at Spencer since Mr. Hughes bought the farm. So it's very exciting to have him there.
You said you were looking at him right after the Preakness, and I'm sure you weren't alone in that respect. What are some of the things that jumped out at Spendthrift and the team there when you started looking at him and said, okay, he can be a viable stallion prospect?
Well, I think when you're able to beat Classic Empire, a horse that was as talented as he was, and then Always Dreaming, 2 weeks earlier, he just witnessed what he did in the Derby. And, to see a horse like Cloud Computing that was a little out of race, a little bit later on the scene, show up and be able to beat a field as talented as that, we look for brilliance. I think that's the one thing that, Mr. Hughes has preached with us when we're looking for a horse is, you're looking for a horse that something really jumps up that catches your eye that you think, well, hey, this horse here is really, really talented and has the ability to get it done on the racetrack. And then you just hope they can replicate that, as a sire. But he certainly showed some brilliance that day on what he was able to do.
Well, there was no horse on the grounds of Pimlico that was training better than he was into the Preakness. And he's a dandy-looking horse. I mean, he's everything you'd want to have if you were going to show your friends your racehorse, right? So,
oh, there's no doubt, Jude. Absolutely.
Yeah, so he's kind of he's kind of an exciting horse because of his size and his scope and his talent. I mean, he could be any kind of sire.
Well, Chad, you know, he told us, you know, he said, Mark, the one thing I can tell you is, he said, when he gets off the van there at Spencer, if you're not going to have to wait a week or two or a month to get him looking right to be able to start showing him to your breeders, he said, step him off the van and stand him up, and they're going to love him. And that's exactly the way it's been. We kicked off our Share the Upside program on him this week, and we've just been getting as many people out to the farm to see him, and we've not had one person that's come and looked at him that didn't say, hey, get me a season. I want to participate. And, you know, he's basically sold out on the Share the Upside portion of our program, and now we'll start shifting to, just selling our stands and nurse season. So very exciting horse. We're glad to have him on the roster, and, man, what a good-looking horse.
Yeah, not only, Mark, is he a classic winner as a three-year-old taking that middle leg of the Triple Crown, but he was a precocious two-year-old, and I think that's something that is so important when you're talking about breeding to the right stallion, especially these young stallions that are new and they're kind of unknown. He broke his maiden first time out at Aqueduct, came back and was second in the Gotham. He was third in the Wood. He showed up as a juvenile too, and I think that has to be something that's a huge feather in his cap.
No doubt about it, Mike. That's always, you look for a horse that's got some talent early, and so many of our horses, you know, on our roster, you know, that's what they've done, you know, all the way from obviously the head of the class, Malibu Moon. You know, Jude can tell you from that horse in California and the ability and talent he showed at an early age, and to be able to go do what he did, even though his career was very short, you know, he showed that brilliance and unbelievable talent. And we try to look for that. We've got, you know, right now the leading freshman sire in Cross Traffic. And, you know, he's a horse that didn't even run until he was four, but back to that two-year-old ability, you know, Todd and those guys worked that horse at Saratoga, and he worked in 58-2 one morning there. And unfortunately, he came out of it with a little bit of a shin bug in him, and that shin turned into having to have some surgery, and it just kind of backed him up. But, you know, he was a horse that, even though he didn't run it to be able to go work as fast as he did up there and show that amount of ability as a two-year-old was, you know, gave you the green light. Hey, this horse had some hiccups along the way, but you know he had the ability early on to be a star.
Yeah, and I'm going to correct myself on something here, Mark, so I don't give you false advertising on cloud computing and get people calling the farm and saying, hey, wait a minute now. He didn't debut until February of his three-year-old season, but he did win that debut first time out, then came back and was second in the Gotham and third in the Wood, all as a three-year-old. But he did show that precociousness early on in that three-year-old campaign, and that's what you like to see with these young stallions, no doubt about it.
Absolutely, Mike. Yes, sir.
All right, let's talk about another precocious runner that is going to be toting the orange and purple Spendthrift colors later today beneath the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, and that's Blue Steel, who goes to the post in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes for trainer Dale Romans. Robbie Alvarado is aboard, and boy, did he look good breaking his maiden for Spendthrift last time out.
Mike, he did. You know, we were really high on this horse. You know, Dale Romans, anybody that has a horse in his barn will know Dale can get you awful excited about one of your horses, and sometimes you just laugh. You're like, oh, Dale, he's touting you. He's touting you every time. But Dale does a great job, and he's been a heck of a trainer for us. And Blue Steel was a horse that he's really been high on all the way around. And, you know, the first time he ran, it was a really hot day there at Churchill. We were over at Keeneland working the sale hard, and, you know, he ran into a very talented horse there of Windstars and Preamble, and we were disappointed. You know, he just didn't fire in the lane, and he just didn't, you know, look like what we had been hearing and what we had been seeing train up to the time. Well, lo and behold, the horse wound up having a heat stroke, and it was something, you know, you just, golly, couldn't all imagine it happened, but it did, and Dale's crew did a great job. You know, they got the horse packed in some ice back at the barn, and he recovered fairly quickly from that. But, you know, it gives us a little bit of a hedge on why he didn't perform the way we had hoped first time. And so we were very excited to get him back. And then anytime a horse goes through that, you know, you're always holding your breath a little bit about, you know, how are they going to come back to the races, you know, the next time out. But, you know, Robbie put him right on the lead, sent him right along from there, and he just cruised around there and won easy. And I asked Robbie as he was back jumping on the scale there, I just said, hey, what do you think? You know, can this horse, do you look like he's a two-turn horse? And he said, I don't know why he wouldn't be. He said he was awful push button for me. And he said, you know, when I asked him to settle, he did. And when I asked him to go, he did. So we're hopeful that, you know, today we can see a good performance out of him. It's a extremely difficult race. It's going to be a heck of a test for class when you've got, you know, the horses that are in that field coming out of the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, it's going to certainly let us, you know, let us know where we stand today.
Well, he was impressive going 7/8. The two turns should not be a problem for him. And he's come back to train good, which is a feather in his cap, too. He had that pretty gaudy 46-4 work there November the 12th. But you're right about Dale. I mean, he never met an entrant of his he didn't like. And he'll keep touting you on this one because it looks like he's got a lot of ability. But you've got some other horses you have interest in there too, like Dumpf.
Jude, he ran just a great race. Our Spencer Stallion Stakes that Kirk Wyckoff had called a month or so ahead of our race and was kind of asking about the particulars of it and how it worked because he was looking at buying this horse privately and come to find out that Baffert actually had this horse bought. And just at the last minute told Donato to pull up on it. He just was a little bit suspect of the horse being at Penn National. And so, you know, he was getting all of the big people were certainly checking this horse out and watching what he had done first time out. And Kirk was able to go in there and buy 75% of the horse and send it to Mike. And, you know, he just crushed the field that day in our race and couldn't have looked any easier of a winner. And I think he ran like an 8, 8.5 on the sheets and got an 83 buyer. And, you know, this will be his first time, you know, facing this type of company. But, boy, it kind of gets you excited the way he ran the other day.
Yeah, open length victories back-to-back. He won by 8.5 when he broke his maiden at Penn. And then, you know, comes to Churchill Downs, runs in the Spendthrift Stakes and wins by 7.75 and looked really good doing it. So he's an interesting horse, and he's kind of being ignored a little bit in the wagering, but I don't know, has Temple City ever had any good horses?
Well, he's had a few, and you know, a lot of times people have jumped on the fact that, you know, he gets a lot of grass horses, which he does, but you know, Bolo certainly ran in the Derby and, you know, was on the board in the Santa Anita Derby and several of the preps along the way in California. And this is really for a lot of people that may not realize, off of his early success with Miss Temple City that obviously your brother had, that was just an amazing, amazing filly that could beat the boys, and she was just an absolute beast in Annals of Time, his other Grade One winner. You know, all of that early success off of some very moderate mares has led to where Temple City is today, and I want to believe that this crop of two-year-olds, the yearlings and the weanlings, I think he has like at least 150 in each one of those crops. And so he's got a massive amount of horses in the pipeline. And he had a really impressive winner yesterday at Hawthorne in the first-time starter that just won for fun. And I think with these better mares and more chances now, I think that you will see Temple City start having as many dirt runners as he does grass runners. So this is exciting horse, and we'll see what happens today. But, you know, he and Blue Steel will be cheering like crazy for both of them today.
Visiting with Mark Toothaker, Spendthrift Farm, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, let's turn our attention to the ladies and the two-year-old fillies that are going in the Goldenrod prior to that Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill later today. That's going to be race 9. The Kentucky Jockey Club is race 11. But you talk about the Spendthrift Stallions, and when you can't talk about the Spendthrift Stallions without mentioning the name Into Mischief, who has been simply brilliant. And he has his daughter break curfew as the 9-5 morning line favorite in that race. Actually, second choice, I guess, behind Restless Rider for Ken McPeak, who is 7-5, but she's right there. You also have Golden Sense and his daughter, Gold Credit, breaking from the rail. Tell us a little bit about those two.
Well, I know Chad, you know, he's been very high on Break Curfew. And again, like us with Blue Steel, you know, she's going to get a big test for class today. You're running against a filly that ran a really, really good race in Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Restless Rider. You know, you take on a filly like that that's already, you know, been battle-tested, you know, you're sure going to have your running shoes on. But Break Curfew, I know those guys are really high on her. And, you know, she looks like to me she could be lone speed in there. And wouldn't be surprised her take them a long way in there. And we'll just see what happens, you know, happens in the stretch. But, you know, Gold Credit ran an extremely good race. And I think, Jude, that's your connections there. And that filly was actually bred by Victor Zambrano, who's, you know, one of the really well-known blacksmiths here in the Lexington area, a guy that, you know, does a lot of the major farms around here. And, you know, for he and his wife to, you know, have a filly win like that, I know was a really big deal for them. And it really helped them the other day at the November sale. They sold a full sister to her for $100,000. And so, you know, it was a big score for them. So, you know, Into Mischief, one day there will certainly be a statue of him at Spencer. You know, he has just been an amazing sire for us with the Meteoric Rise and just keeps getting it done, short, long, turf, or dirt. I tell all my buddies that are trainers, I said, guys, don't overthink this thing. Just get your guys to buy Into Mischief because they make owners look smarter and trainers look better. Just stick with Into Mischief, and he solves a lot of your problems.
Yeah, that's for sure. His horses are great to bet on. It always gives you such confidence when you handicap a race, and then you look and you see the horse that you like is by Into Mischief. It's almost like leading you to the windows.
You know they're going to try, that's for sure. And we're seeing a little bit of that from Golden Sense. I mean, you know, he's sitting number two behind Cross Traffic on the freshman sire list. And, you know, he's got more winners than anybody. I think he's 24 winners now, individual. And just Golden Sense was such a sound, durable, hard-knocking horse. And he's, you know, got us excited that maybe he's going to follow right along and Into Mischief's footsteps.
Yeah, he's such a versatile horse. I'm a big fan, of course. Doug O'Neill trained him, and you know, he's a very accomplished horse. I think people sold him a little short, but they're finding out now that was a mistake. He's a terrific sire.
He's been good for us, and you know, we've got him sold out already for next year, and that's exciting for the farm. It's exciting for everyone that did our Share the Upside program, and you know, we've got high hopes. And you know, Cross Traffic's got a filly that ran really made a nice run on the turn in our Spencer Stallion Stakes there, and named Tajwa. She's in the seventh race today. She actually finished fourth in our race, but she made a nice run around the turn and flattened out a little bit in the lane, and we're excited about her today. And I'll tell you another filly that I don't know if she'll go post for today because I know they're off the grass at Churchill, and I'm not sure, but there's been a lot of whispers and a lot of talk about a filly named Temple City Terror that Brendan Walsh has got. I don't know if she'll run today, but that's one to you keep an eye on. I know this filly's been training lights out, and they're very, very excited about it.
Cool. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on her. Mark, about a minute and a half left before I have to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. Ed DeRosa coming up next from Briss and from Twin Spires. But I do want to give you an opportunity to just touch on the news that came out yesterday, the passing of Bob McNair, who, of course, was the owner of the Houston Texans and the owner of Stonerside Stable, campaigned many horses under that banner for many, many years. You had a bit of a relationship with him back in the day. Just talk about Bob for a minute.
Well, Mr. McNair, you know, was just an absolute legend in the game. And, you know, Bobby Spaulding, who was his longtime farm manager, and John Asher, his racing manager, you know, those guys back when I was consigning and selling horses back before my time at Spencer, they were nice enough to let me sell some horses for them, not only at Keeneland, but we also sold some horses for them when they were kind of dispersing some of their stuff down in Texas as well. We took some stuff down there to the Texas yearling sale, and got a chance with John Asher to go down and go to a Texans game and go down on the field before the game. Just, you know, Mr. McNair couldn't have been more gracious to us. And my brother-in-law was able to go with me. We just had a fantastic time down there. And, you know, I hate that he got out of the racing game and you know, he sold his farm, and Sheikh Mohammed came in and bought it, and then just instant off of a lot of the matings and stuff that Bobby and the guys had done out at the farm, you know, they had Breeders' Cup success, and, you know, I know he wanted to focus, you know, on the Texans and, you know, what a great franchise he's done there and exciting times for them. And but Mr. McNair, you know, he'll certainly be missed, and just a guy that gave a lot of his time and money to a lot of causes.
Yeah, well said. Mark Toothaker, Spendthrift Farm, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, listen, appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and we'll encourage people to wear what they love and embrace their passion at embracetherace.com. Enjoy the day. Good luck with Blue Steel and all the runners associated with Spendthrift Farm and the Stallions. Go get it done today.
Mike, thank you, Jude. Thank you for all you all do and the service you all provide for our industry. And just keep up the great work. We're so excited and always glad to be a part of anything you all are doing.
Thanks, brother. Mark Toothaker here on HRRN. Well, it is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in the heart of the Bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll come back and visit with Ed DeRosa. We'll talk a little Derby futures. That's next. Stay with us right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This man, during his lifetime of nearly 90 years, was synonymous with the thoroughbred racing as best as anybody could portray it. He was born in Fredericksburg, Texas, July 30th, 1880. That was the year the Great Hindu was a two-year-old, and a horse named Fonso won the Kentucky Derby over four rivals to earn $3,800. Our subject ran away from home at the age of 13 to become a jockey. He started as an exercise boy but wore silks in a race at the age of 14. That was long before he became a licensed jockey, although he had ridden at the age of 10 at Wild County Fairs in Texas. He never felt he was a good rider, but he had 1,117 recorded mounts and scored with 123 winners, a few of those against the likes of Immortals, Todd Sloan, and Snapper Garrison. He got too heavy to ride by the time he was 19, and therefore he opted for training to get his license at the age of 20 in 1900. He saddled his first winner in 1902, a horse named Guatama, at New Orleans on March 21st. Between 1902 and 1969, he saddled 1,993 winners, including the winners of more than 100 major stakes. His last winner was a four-year-old filly named Heartland, who won Aqueduct's feature by about 8 hours before he died on April 3, 1969. His first stakes winner was Beauclair, who took the Washington Cup at Benning's Racecourse near Washington, D.C. in 1907. He went on to train three Kentucky Derby winners and one Triple Crown winner. The latter was the great Clubfoot Comet Assault in 1946 in the brown and cream silks of the King Ranch. He saddled Bull Venture to win the 1936 Derby at 20-1, and another winner for the King Ranch Middle Ground in 1950. He had a rather unorthodox method of training horses, to say the least. Most trainers would not dare use an apprentice rider in a classic race. This man did it twice, in the Derby, and he won both of them. In 1936, when Ira Hanford on Bull Venture daringly fought through very tight quarters to score by a head over Brevity, and in 1950, when then 16-year-old Bill Bullen kept his mount on the rail to save ground the whole trip. He often said the best horse he had ever trained was Grey Lag, and he went on to say that Grey Lag may have been the singular best he had ever seen. He had bought him as a two-year-old from the Wizard of the Turf, John E. Madden, and raced him until three when Harry Sinclair bought him for $60,000, an unheard-of price at the time. Grey Lag raced for Sinclair and then ran Coca Stable from then on. He was reluctant to use superlatives, but he did feel his best horses besides Grey Lag were Saracen and Assault. His greatest loss was not Grey Lag, it was Stymie, who earned nearly $1 million after being claimed for $1,500. He liked to bet on horses and at one time said, quote, "People who like horses like to bet on them. People who don't bet on them don't belong at the racetrack," end of quote. He was elected to the Racing Hall of Fame in 1959 and was honored by the Thoroughbred Club of America in 1961. Even after a heart attack in 1961, he went on to be leading money-winning trainer in New York. At the age of 87 in 1968, he won 49 races and that year he trained Gallen Bloom, who was juvenile title holder of that year. He was stoop-shouldered, walked with a bit of a shuffle, with his hand always thrust forward as if something of extraordinary interest was to occur just in front of him. This truly great trainer went shuffling off, so to speak, to the great paddock in the sky, April 3rd, 1969, as an octogenarian at the age of 88. He was the man from Texas, Max Hirsch.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, our Jimmy John's new 9-grain wheat sub has the perfect amount of grains.
Freak, yeah, it does. Any less, it'd be grain lacking. Any more, it'd be obnoxious.
9 grains. It's just so confident. I mean, it says I'm high quality, I'm substantial, I'm flavorful, but I don't have to prove myself to anyone.
This 9-grain wheat sub is practically an inspirational poster.
I want to possess the character and depth of this 9-grain wheat sub.
You guys talking about being that 9-grain wheat sub again?
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Nick's Go is in front as they turn for home. Nick's Go on top, trying to pull off another upset here into the final furlong with Game Winner running at him on the outside. The two of them into the final furlong, and they bump there. Game Winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick's Go, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's Game Winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Nick's Go was second. Signal Man came on for third, and Mr. Money was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRN. Larry Colmus with the call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill just, a little less than a month ago. And it was Game Winner getting the victory, remaining undefeated for Bob Baffert. He is your current favorite at odds of 6-1 in the first Kentucky Derby future wager pool, which you can bet at twinspires.com. And he's the favorite among the individual entries. Of course, the field, 6-5, is the favorite overall. That means all other three-year-old males that are out there. But Game Winner, very impressive, and enough people believing in him that he's down to 6-1. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. I'm Mike Pena. Jude Feld is to my left. We are in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And when you talk about the Derby futures, nobody better than our good friend Ed DeRosa, who is with TwinSpires and with Brisnet.com. He's with us now here on HRRN. Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? Game Winner and everybody else?
No. it is weird, though. I mean, usually an undefeated champion two-year-old trained by Bob Baffert, you would think would, I mean, just be an overwhelming, you know, oh, who's going to beat this horse? But Baffert has six other individual interests, including Coliseum, who turned a lot of heads on debut, and really everyone was talking about before debut. It just seems like this is a year where I think the field will catch up to the champion.
Well, you've got you got several horses that, you know, have shown a lot of promise, so there's quite a menu to choose from. And you've also got horses that are running this weekend, which can change the pools at the very last moment. Anthony and I were talking yesterday on the air about the choice of today as the day to start it, as opposed to maybe like last weekend. So you were wagering more on the come instead of finding out the results of some of these races. Is that by design, or what made you guys choose today?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it at this point, since this one's been around, I think, 3 or 4 years, you know, the Remsen used to be this weekend when it started, so you sort of had two-year-old races to choose from. But I think just the players that are in the pool, and I don't mean the future wager pool, but all pools, this is a much more active weekend for betting than last weekend would be. So I think the thought is you can capture their attention, and maybe they have a punt somewhere along the line. But handle, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week is definitely higher across the board, whether it's ADW, On Track, et cetera, than the previous week. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that goes into it, is just feel like there's more eyeballs paying attention.
Yeah, and, you know, I threw out the poll question this morning, which people are weighing in on at our Twitter feed, at HRN. They're doing it Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, too. And the poll question is this, Ed: if you're making a Kentucky Derby future wager, what are the minimum odds you will accept? So how about for you? Is there a threshold there? You say, okay, I'm not betting any future horse unless it's this particular number.
Yeah, this far out, I need 50 to 1.
Ooh.
So, excuse me, obviously I'm not looking at, really, I think, any of the Bafferts. I haven't seen if any of the, I know he has seven in there, maybe a couple of them have drifted higher. But, yeah, I just, the future wager to me is definitely bet a little to win a lot mentality. And there are a couple I like. Unfortunately, one of them, and this speaks to Jude's question, I think Dump is sort of an under-the-radar horse, and I expect him to perform well today, which could obviously hurt his price, and he would be under that 50-to-1 threshold, whereas if the pool were last week, I probably would have gotten that 50-to-1. So it's a situation where there are a couple others. Vekoma is another name out there. I think he's fast, and he has a trainer that isn't necessarily sexy on the Triple Crown Trail, which always helps your price a little bit, I think. So if Signal Man, Dump, Nix Go, any of those horses run really well today, they're going to take money, which could make a horse like Vekoma or Maximus Mischief float up, and then they become a good bet on Sunday night.
Yeah, you're a handicapping theorist, and you pay a lot of attention to stats and stuff. What should people be looking at when they are handicapping this wager? What are the stats say?
Well, I would say, well, before this year, I would have said you want a horse who starts as a 2-year-old. But now that potentially is out the window. But I do think Brilliance is undervalued when it comes to the Derby. We read so much about, you know, oh, you need a mile and a quarter horse. You need, you know, a horse who has stamina. And that's true, but you need the stamina to be, their brilliance is what they need to carry. It's not that they just can run a mile and a quarter. I mean, the Derby is a classic. I mean, it almost has that mile mentality in Europe. You're running from the gate go. So I definitely think Brilliance is undervalued. And for that reason, I look for horses who, you know, win at 6 furlongs first out, or at least run very well. I don't like horses who need 2 turns to break their maiden. That to me is a big negative on the Derby trail. I feel like a Derby type horse should be able to perform well against maidens, especially going 6 or 7 furlongs. I mean, even Zenyatta, you know, she's won right out of the box, one turn. The really good horses at a route have brilliant sprinting.
Ed, the 6-5 on all other 3-year-old males, this is going to be the favorite. I mean, right up until that Derby Future Pool 4, right? Is there any point where you say, okay, 6-5 is good value?
I think if I were a professional gambler sitting on a lot of capital and didn't mind tying up funds for 5.5 months, the field is probably the most likely to offer value. Now, I haven't really crunched the numbers on the other 22 individual interests plus the fillies, and we did have a filly earn points on the Japanese road to the Derby yesterday, so it's not all of a sudden it's not an impossible idea. But I do think year to year the field is definitely most likely to offer the value, especially maybe in that second pool. Now that there's a future option in the first one, the second one, the field price has actually floated a little bit versus the first few years. So that to me is where I would definitely look if I were the type of bettor that can, A, tie up funds and, B, really attack it. But, I mean, as a, you know, I don't want to say casual horse player, but even a semi-serious one, I'm not looking to bet $100 to get 200 back in 5.5 months. It's just not exciting.
You know, the other pool that is more wide open, if you want to look at it in that respect, than the Derby futures betting on the individual horses is the future sire wager, the sire that is going to produce the Kentucky Derby winner. And you look at that, and I think this is a really neat wager. Candy Ride, who stands at Hillendale, is 5-1 as the favorite among that group in the body of the stallions that you can bet. You also have Into Mischief, who is, we just talked to Mark Toothaker from Spendthrift, 6-1 as the second choice. And then Sensational Super Champion Sire Tappet, third choice among the individual sires at 8-1. Tappet, of course, at Gainesway. And then you have all other sires at 4-1. That is the overall favorite, but not the 6-5 that we see among the individual horses. That's kind of telling, too.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting bet, and unfortunately, I don't want to say unfortunately, it's great for Hillendale, but, you know, Candy Ride is sire of Game Winner, obviously is one of the big reasons he's taken such a hit in this pool, but I crunched some numbers using the BriskNet speed rating, and Candy Ride is the leader of this crop of two-year-olds, so foals born in 2016. If you look at his maiden if you look at all maiden special weight winners, their average speed rating, Candy Ride is the leader. So not only, you know, you have Game Winner, obviously, but there's a plethora of 2-year-olds who have won at the maiden special weight ranks that Candy Ride is getting some fast 2-year-olds, and Into Mischief is second, and we're seeing that play out in the Derby Future Pool because they also happen to have two of the more exciting Derby prospects, but it's more than just those two. And I would actually encourage people at these prices right now, if you like Game Winner, Candy Ride is the much better bet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Stats Racelands came out with a angle during Breeders' Cup about Candy Ride at Churchill Downs and his horses running long, actually showing a flat bet profit if you bet on every one of Candy Ride's horses going long at Churchill Downs. And I think that's a huge angle, too, that supports what you're saying about Candy Ride.
Yeah, and, you know, people are going to say, well, wait a minute. He said it's a much better bet. Game Winner 6-1. Candy Ride is 5-1. But keep in mind, when you're betting on the sire, you're getting all of his 3-year-olds. So it's not just the one horse. You're not tying your money to that one horse of Game Winner.
Exactly, yeah. And last year, Scat Daddy had 3 in the Derby. So, you know, the right sire gets hot in the right crop. And, excuse me, Candy Ride to me definitely has the look of along with Into Mischief and Tappet. But, you know, you get the champion. And as I said, you know, Jude pointed out a great stat. And Candy Ride himself, he had brilliance and he was versatile. He went on multiple surfaces. I mean, that's, to me, the type of sire you look for in a Derby horse, and we saw that with Scat Daddy last year. He gets sprinters, he gets routers, he gets turf horses, dirt horses now. So that holds up with Candy Ride as well.
Talking with Ed DeRosa, BrisNet.com, TwinSpires.com. And, of course, if you're going to head over and bet those wagers, you'll do it at TwinSpires.com. And you can use all of the Bris information to help you figure out which horse or which sire might be the one that you want to place your money on sitting here on November 24th. But as Ed told you, look for value. For him, it's 50-1. For you, it might be 20-1. But that's what our poll question is today. And most people saying if they're going to bet a horse in the Derby futures, they need to get at least 20-1, especially at this point here in the season being so far away. Because let's face it, Ed, if the horse, for whatever reason, doesn't make it to the starting gate, and you know, you lose your money. So there's a huge risk. It's different than betting on sports futures where you know that, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and New England Patriots, they're going to play every game. It's different here.
Right. Well, the other issue is not only not making the gate, but there's plenty of examples where horses make the gate and they're either longer or right around what they were in the future wager. So if you're taking game winner now at 6-1, you're basically banking on him maybe not winning out, but certainly winning his final prep, because if that doesn't happen in a 20-horse field, he's going to be 6-1 minimum, maybe 8 or 10-1 or worse. And now you're sitting on a ticket from 5 months ago at a lower price. That's, it's not quite as bad a feeling as losing at all, but it's sort of a head scratcher and a humble moment to, you know, think, oh, I got 6-1 5 months ago, and he's going to the gate 8-1.
Yep. Ed DeRosa with us here on HRRN. You can catch him every Thursday night with Anthony Stabile on the BrisNet.com call-in show, Sirius 219 XM 201, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Ed, before I let you go, literally less than a minute here, but quick selection for either the Goldenrod or the Kentucky Jockey Club today. Do you have anybody you like?
Yeah, I'm chalking out in the Goldenrod. I think Restless Rider and Breaking Curfew are the horses to beat. So we'll narrow there. But in the Jockey Club, I do think Dumped has a shot. I think 6-1's fair. And then King for a Day at 8-1. Which I think we'll get, because Signalman and Nixco are going to take money off their Breeders' Cup efforts, and I'll fade the Breeders' Cup for him and take the new shooters.
There you go. He's as good as it gets. Ed DeRosa, TwinSpires.com, BrisNet.com, and, of course, the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the network. Ed, appreciate the visit, and look forward to catching up with you soon, bud.
Sounds great. Always a pleasure, guys.
All right. Like all of our guests, Ed will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at Embrace the Race. Well, trainer Brad Cox has been on quite a roll here in 2018. We're going to tell you all about it when he joins us coming up in just about 5 minutes. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Attention horsemen, the 2018 Iowa Stallion Auction takes place December 8th to the 17th, with all monies raised used to fund three stakes races, which had total purses in 2018 of just over $280,000. The auction is the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 per race bonus. All foals born in 2020, regardless of what state they are foaled, are eligible to nominate to our 2022 ITBOA Stallion Futurity for two-year-olds and 2023 Stallion Stakes for three-year-olds. Make your stallion donation now at iowathoroughbred.com.
World-class thoroughbred racing is back at Churchill Downs with an action-packed fall meet running through Sunday, November 25th. The 129th fall meet showcases lofty purse levels thanks to early returns from state-of-the-art historical racing machines at Derby City Gaming. Horsemen will compete for more than $41 million in prize money, with average daily purses totaling over $648,000, a 29.7% increase from last fall's meet, and maiden special weight purses are now worth a record $76,000. Make plans now to attend the Churchill Downs fall meet running through November 25th.
Power. Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at three, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mana Moon Girl is taking the lead at the top of the stretch. Blue Prize runs at her. The two of them turn for home with Midnight Bizou, third on the outside. 3/16 to go. Monomoy Girl to catch. Florent Giroux goes to an all-out drive. Blue Prize trying to stick with her. Midnight Bizou continues to move down the center. Monomoy Girl at 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizou. Monomoy Girl has won the distaff. Wildcat came late for a second, then Midnight Bizou and Blue Prize, and Abel Tasman was last under the wire.
Larry Coleman's bringing them home in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, Monomoy Girl. Boy, what a campaign she had here in 2018. She's one of 10 different greatest stakes winners trained by Brad Cox this year. Think about that. 10 different greatest stakes winner. He also trained Leo Frick to win the Grade 1 Clark Handicap yesterday at Churchill Downs. So it's been a magical year for him. We're going to visit with Brad coming up in just a minute. Right after we pause, 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Monomoy Girl at 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizou. Monomoy Girl has won the distaff. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Baron, and Pontiff in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you back with us. If you missed any portion of the first half of this program or any of our shows, all you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. It will be available shortly after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern here this morning, and it has been a very busy show. Interviews with Mark Toothaker from Spendthrift Farm and Ed DeRosa talking Derby futures. He did that in the previous segment in hour number one. And in case you're wondering, edging ever closer to that first Saturday in May, and I know Jude loves this, we're going to do it for another 161 days, 8 hours, 45 minutes, and 53 seconds.
There you go.
getting closer.
An hour closer than we were when we started the show.
You can bet the Derby today. The Kentucky Derby future wager, pool number one, is available at twinspires.com. We threw out the poll question. If you're making a Kentucky Derby future wager, what are the minimum odds that you'll accept on that particular horse? And 68% of HRN Nation saying that 20 to 1 would be the minimum that they have to get.
I think that's probably fair. I would like higher, but, you know.
The one that surprises me is 16%, which is tied for second in the voting, say that odds don't matter.
Okay.
When betting the future wager, right? Isn't that a bit shocking?
Odds matter no matter what wager you're making.
And 8 to 1, which is one of the options that people can choose from, zero. Zero votes for 8 to 1, but people say odds don't matter. So I guess if the horse is 3 to 1, you're pulling the trigger.
I guess if you like the horse, you like the horse. I don't know.
All right. Well, what a year it has been. That may be one of the only races that this guy didn't win this year was the Kentucky Derby, but he did win the Kentucky Oaks with Monomoy Girl. He is trainer Brad Cox, who, Brad, how about this? I don't know if you realize this or not, if you keep track of these things, but I just went to Equibase right before you were going to be set to join us here this morning. You have trained 10 different graded stakes winners here in 2018. Unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, dude. Thanks for having me on this morning.
What's the secret, man? How do you do it?
Good horses and good clients. So, it's been a great year. It's been a great year, and things have, been on the upswing, and, you know, it's mostly because of very talented horses and great clients.
Start by talking about your most recent success. That came late yesterday afternoon beneath those Twin Spires. That's been a good place for you this year. The Clark Handicap going to Leo Frick, who holds off a Game Bravazo to get the victory. Tell me about that race.
It was an amazing race, amazing effort by the horse, Leo Frick. He's a very nice horse. He's really developed this year. We've had to take our time with him. We've had him right at 2 years. Liz Crow bought him out of the November sale in 2016, and we've had him ever since. We've had to stop on him a few times with some feed issues and stuff, but he's a solid horse, and he had to really fight off Bravazo yesterday at the eighth pole. I didn't know if he was going to hold on or not, but he really dug in and fought hard to win the race. It was an amazing effort.
That's kind of the hallmark of this horse, isn't it? Digging in. He's as game a horse as you could ever have. I mean, it's just amazing how he just finds that extra all the time.
Yeah, he's a fighter. I mean, he gets his head in front. He does not want to be passed. Obviously he knows what his job is. He shows up for us every time, and he's really put things together this fall, and then, you know, just really turned into just a new horse, really. I mean, he's a horse that does require some time after some races. He ran a big race in the Woodward at Saratoga this late summer, and just kind of, didn't take him out of training or anything, but just really give him some time between that and the Fayette at Keeneland, and he responded well and thought, you know, that it would be a good setup at the Clark. We were pointing for the Clark after the Fayette. We're just going to let him kind of tell us if he was up for it or not. And he had two solid works here at Churchill post Fayette. He responded well yesterday.
Is that the key, just not get in a rush with them, just kind of let him tell you?
Yeah, without a doubt. And really, that's the case with most horses. I mean, you got to kind of let them tell you when they're ready to run as opposed to you telling them. You're obviously put in spots where, you know, you're not as confident with horses. You know, every horse you lead over there, there's a little different confidence level, I guess you would say. But we felt really good about him yesterday. And, like I said, he always gives you what he's got. He never lets you down. We knew he was set up for a big effort yesterday, and he gave it to us. But he is a horse you definitely got to watch. I mean, Mr. Landers has been incredibly patient with him and listened to us. And, after the Razorback in Hot Springs back in February, you know, there's two really nice races there at Oaklawn that, you know, he would have definitely been one of the choices in, but, you know, he just wasn't ready for it, and he was patient with him, and he never left our barn But we did have to back off of him, and we kept him at the barn and just kind of give him time. And he started putting things together this spring, and we got him back to the races at Prairie Meadows. We was at Churchill, and we shipped some horses up for some stakes, and there was a race there, and we shipped him up for that. And, you know, he's been on track ever since.
Brad, you talk about him letting you know when he's ready to run. How about Monomoy Girl? How does she let you know when she's ready to run? Because it seems like she always is.
Yeah, she's very consistent. I mean, she's an unbelievable workhorse. She gives you what she has, or, you know, she does whatever you ask of her every week in her works. And, you know, leading up to the Breeders' Cup, she confidence level was way up. I mean, she was training extremely aggressive in her gallops, not over the top, but just aggressive in her gallops, paying attention, focusing, and just really put things together, you know, 2-3 weeks prior to the Breeders' Cup. You could tell she was ready for an A effort. She needed that against those older mares. It was a heck of a race, and she definitely needed to bring her A game, and she brought it, and it worked out well.
Yeah, she ran an incredible race that day. You gave her some time off. Is Leo Frick going to have a little rest now? Was that his last race of the year?
I would say probably the last race of the year, but we won't take him out of training. You know, he's a horse that was pretty much out of training from February to, say, April. We'll just kind of keep things turning over with him. You know, where we start next is kind of unknown, but he will not be turned out or anything or go to a farm. He'll stay right here with us. We'll probably ship him south in the next week or two to the fairgrounds and do some training there. Not necessarily meaning that's where he'll run, but that's where he'll be stable the month of December.
What do the next several months look like for Monomoy Girl?
She's currently at Windstar, just on, you know, a little, and being turned out in a small round pen and hand walking and just kind of getting her feet back underneath of her. She looks great. She really, really came out of the distaff in great shape. We sent her to the clinic for an evaluation. Everything went extremely well. Very happy with what, you know, for a horse that's basically been in training for a solid year and a half. She'd never been out of our barn for, I guess, a little more than a year and a half. And that really came down to the decision to give her the break. We sent her over. She got a clean bill of health, but just thought, you know, with what we're trying to do, and that would be win the Breeders' Cup distaff next year. It just made more sense to give her the time. She deserved it. And, you know, we'd flirted with the idea of the Pegasus, but, you know, kind of thought make a run into distaff, try to have an incredible 2019. And, you know, in 2020, if the Pegasus is there and she's five and she's in good form, maybe that'll be the year we take our shot.
Trainer Brad Cox, our special guest here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you heard, it has been a magical year training 10 different greatest stakes winners, winning the Breeders' Cup distaff with Monomoy Girl, and coming back with Leo Frick to take the Grade 1 Clark yesterday at Churchill. And because of all that success, Brad is our industry star of the week. And this interview segment always brought to you by our good friend Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He is very thankful to all of his clients. If you're going to take a look at a consigner when you go to a major sale, make sure you stop by that Stuart Morris consignment. But, Brad, we couldn't think of anybody better to make our industry star of the week than you, considering this year that you've had.
Well, thank you very much. That's an honor, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As somebody who grew up in Louisville, just a stone's throw from Churchill Downs, to win the Kentucky Oaks earlier this year, take me back to that day, the first Friday in May, and put me there with you as she's storming down the stretch.
Well, it was a dogfight. It was an extremely good race between her and Wonder Godot. You know, it was a battle down the lane, and, you know, it looked like she got passed around the eighth pole, and she had to battle back. And, you know, I don't know, some people out there thought, I'd heard some people say a mile and an eighth would be her undoing. At the quarter pole, I kind of thought, okay, she's got this. And then, you know, she did kind of wait. I don't want to use the word wait, but Wonder Godot definitely made a horse race out of it. And she had the battle, and she definitely got the mile and an eighth, and it was a battle, and it was an exciting race. Probably the most exciting race I've ever watched. I watch all the races on TV, and I was doing some screaming and jumping and yelling at the TV. So it was unbelievably exciting, and it was a great race.
Yeah, that was a tremendous performance, and certainly a highlight of that weekend. And that was just a crazy 2 days with you winning the Oaks and then Justify, and it was certainly a Derby weekend to remember.
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend. It's always a good card here, Derby week, it was definitely a big, for to break from the 14 hole. I think a lot of people forget that. You know, Floron had to use her a little bit to get position, and she established it, and kind of took control of the race, I guess, right inside the half mile pole, and held off for battled Wonder Godot. So it was a huge effort, and just very proud of her.
Brad, would you attend the Oaks when you were growing up around it there in Louisville?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I came to some Oaks early on, but I can remember Gallon of Ruckus. I watched that one. It was probably my first and only Oaks in the infield. I remember watching Gallon of Ruckus for John Ward and John Oxley. I don't remember the year, but I watched that one in the infield, and that one just kind of stuck out to me. But yeah, I've been to several Oaks, and it's definitely a tradition here in Louisville.
Take me back to that day when you were in the infield. Paint that picture for me.
It was just me and a buddy, and we just came over. And, we were just betting on horses, it was a good day. And for some reason, I just remember her. It was an Oaks that just stuck out in my mind. It was in the 90s. I can't remember the exact year, but it was it's always a wild time in the infield. I've never been to the infield on Derby. I'm hoping I don't end up in the infield on Derby. I prefer being in the paddock or around the paddock when they're running the Derby.
That name Gallon of Ruckus, that kind of sums up a lot of the gals in the infield on the Oaks and Derby Day.
That's exactly right.
Brad, not only did you have that success in the greatest stakes races this year that we've talked about, but on November 18th at the fairgrounds, just 6 days ago, you saddle milestone winner number 1,000. That had to be extremely special.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it seemed like things had kind of snowballed over the last few years, and it was great to kind of get it behind. It was definitely great to get it behind us because I think, I had some people say, hey, look, 10 away. 8 away. It kind of seemed like I were getting those texts for months, and I was like, I just wish this thing would hurry up. So it just seemed like things kind of were stagnant there for a while, leading up to number 1,000, and so a lot of seconds and thirds, it seemed like. But it was good to finally, get number 1,000, and it was a great achievement. Very proud of the team. It's definitely a lot of people behind the scenes and that go into this, and from grooms, exercise riders, hot walkers, foremen's assistants, and it's definitely a team effort. And a lot of guys have been there for a lot of wins, I can tell you that. I mean, we got a good crew and a good staff and assistants that put a lot of time, a ton of time and effort into this, and you can't do it without them. There's no doubt about it.
So what's your winter going to look like? You're going to be like Fairgrounds, Oaklawn? Is that going to be your main tracks?
Yeah, the Fairgrounds Oaklawn. We'll keep some horses at Louisiana Downs. It's the first year they've offered stabling there with Evangeline Training Center being closed. So I think it's going to work out really well with Louisiana Downs being in the mix. It'll be kind of a hub for both places, Fairgrounds and Oaklawn. And then we'll keep a string in New York as well, Belmont, ship over to Aqueduct and run throughout the winter.
Talking with trainer Brad Cox here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brad, you joined us back in 2014, January of 2014 to be exact, on our Wednesday night trainer talk program that we have here on the network. At that point, you had saddled 253 winners. You are now up to 1,003. How much different is Brad Cox as a trainer now than you were back in 2014?
Well, I mean, busier. I guess that would be the right answer. I don't feel like, I think things change a little bit as time goes on. So, I mean, I can't really see a big difference. But, it's a little more spread out, which I enjoy it. I mean, I like action. I like runners. I mean, I think we had 11 runners yesterday, and I really like that. I mean, it's something to look forward to. You watch one run at the fairgrounds, go saddle one at Churchill, watch it run. then back to the fairgrounds and up in New York. So we had a busy day yesterday, and I like it. I mean, I'm into that right now. I'm 38. I feel like I can handle it. I don't know if that'll be the case 10, 15, 20 years from now, but I really enjoy what we're doing. I enjoy having a lot of horses and you know, being competitive and trying to be competitive and you know, winning races. It's there's nothing like it. It's winning. It's addicting, and then the more you want. So it's a fun. I really enjoy what we do.
All right, Brad Cox here on HRRN. Brad, I know it's a busy day for you. We'll let you go. Go continue to celebrate that big win, but I know it's short-lived in a trainer's life because you got to get right back to work today. Good luck today and moving forward, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Duke. Best of luck to you guys.
All right, thanks. Brad Cox here on HRN. Like all of our guests, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, what a year it's been for Brad, JT. And not just the success with all of his greatest stakes winners, but, I mean, all of the winners that he's been able to saddle and pile up. And I mentioned that he grew up just in kind of the shadows of the Twin Spires there in Louisville, but he began walking hots for guys like Frankie Brothers and Jinx Fires. So he started from the ground up, and he learned from some of the very best.
Yeah, well, I mean, it shows. You know, he's tremendously consistent all year long. I mean, some people said, oh, he's in a slump. He was winning at 15%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a slump for him, but it's a great year for most people, right? So, he's done a fantastic job. And I thought that was really interesting that when he was on Trainer Talk, he only had a couple hundred victories. So he's crushed it since.
You know, he spent about 5 years working for trainer Dallas Stewart, who, by the way, he defeated yesterday in the Clark Handicap to get that grade one. Dallas, I believe, was third in that race, right, with Seeking the Soul. So he turned the tables on his mentor. The student became the teacher. But he had a great quote when he joined us on Trainer Talk back in 2014. He said that when he worked, when Dallas worked for Wayne Lucas, Wayne would always tell him that he was going to the University of Wayne Lucas. And so when Brad Cox was working with Dallas Stewart, Dallas would always tell him that he was going to the University of Dallas Stewart. he learned well.
I guess he got his diploma yesterday. His grade one diploma.
He certainly did. Congratulations to Brad on all his success. Again, the podcast of that interview will be available along with the full show here on our website, horseracingradio.net, after we finish up 10 o'clock Eastern. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. Your Blood Horse News update is on the other side of this. And still to come, your KTA, KTOB spotlight segment. And maybe what we'll do, we've got plenty of time now. All of the guests are concluded. Maybe we'll do something totally different and open up the phone lines here this morning and let you weigh in on some Derby future conversation or anything you want to talk about. We may do that next. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Gulfstream Park's Championship Meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. The Caribbean Classic is back on Saturday, December 8th with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th. A program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Gigs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Pettijude fell back on the Equine Forum. Thanks for that, Bob Baffert. How good is Bob Baffert? This guy, I mean, he just continues to churn out Kentucky Derby prospects. You heard Ed talk about, what's he have, six in the Derby future wager?
Yeah, something,
I mean,
like
come
that.
Come on. And
six or seven.
The top two favorites, right? With Coliseum and with Game Winner. Of course, Game Winner favored over Coliseum in the wagering, but... Yeah, it, just unbelievable how good he is and how consistent he is. I mean, every trainer runs into a little bit of a slump, and he's had his years where he hasn't been quite as prominent, but he is back with a vengeance now.
We brought him back at Monmouth. he hadn't won a race in a month of Sundays I think he won two that day, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you that even the great ones have to battle through these slumps.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, I mean, nobody's exempt. I mean,
right.
I remember Charlie Whittingham, he was like 0 for 36 or something like that. Mel Studi was 0 for 42. Trainers that are used to winning races with regularity. And it does, it makes you talk to yourself when you're going through that.
Yep.
You just don't know what's happening, but it's just the way it goes sometimes.
All right, well, let's do this. We are going to open up the phone lines. We'll take your phone calls. We never do this here on the Equine Forum. It's kind of a throwback here. I sent out a nice tweet. At least I thought it was a nice tweet from our HRN account on Thanksgiving morning. And just let people know how thankful we are for all of our listeners and all of our sponsors and our entire team, our entire crew, our producers. Extremely thankful for everybody that goes into making these shows possible. And our listeners are certainly a major part of that. Without you, we don't have a show. So we thank you for that. And we're going to take these next two segments and open up the phone lines. If you want to weigh in on some of the conversation we've been having about the Derby future wager, maybe your strategy when it comes to betting a Derby future, you can do that. If you want to talk to us about some of the contenders on the road, maybe you have a horse that's a bit of a long shot you want to bounce off of us, that's cool too. You can do that 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. That's the number to call. Going to get to our Blood Horse News update, then take your phone calls for the rest of the program. A couple of commercial breaks thrown in, but plenty of time to talk with you. So dial now, 888-966-4776, and you can weigh in and chat with us here on the Equine Forum this morning. The next two segments, all about you, the listener. Well, your Blood Horse News update brought to you by BloodHorse.com. Battle of Midway back at Del Mar for the Native Diver. That's right. Don Alberto Stable and Windstar Farms Battle of Midway will look to grab Graded Glory for the first time since his score in the 2017 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He'll do that in the $100,000 Native Diver Stakes, a Grade 3, which takes place tomorrow at Del Mar. Well, it took a little while for the Smart Strike colt to hit his stride during his four-year-old season, with a far back second in the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes and a fifth in the Grade 2 Kelso in his first two starts. But he looked like his old self October 28th when he romped to a four-and-a-half-length victory in the Comma to the Top Stakes at Santa Anita. And we'll see if, indeed, Battle of Midway can get back to the winner's circle and continue his winning ways tomorrow in that Native Diver. Don't forget, there is no better way to follow racing, breeding, and industry news. And, of course, more than that, with BloodHorse.com. There are so many platforms in which you can do it and in which they bring it to you. BloodHorse.com is the thoroughbred industry's go-to site. Then you have the BloodHorse Daily app, which is updated throughout the day with news, race results, and more. You can have the BloodHorse Daily delivered to you in an email or listen on your Alexa-enabled devices. You can do that by going to BloodHorse.com/daily. Well, again, we've been talking about the Derby future wager. Never too early to start talking Kentucky Derby, and I'll spare you the countdown because we have a caller on the line. Again, these next two segments, a little bit different.
Saved by the bell.
Yeah, on the Equine Forum, taking your phone calls here, 888-966-4776, and our first caller on the line. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Joel from Indy.
Joel, how you doing?
Hey, not bad. Hey, not Derby related, but didn't know if it was fair game. I was just curious about what you guys thought about that DQ in the last at Churchill yesterday. I thought that was a little suspect, and wonder if you guys saw that and had any comment on it.
JT?
I did not see it. I've read a lot about it. I have to agree with the person on Twitter that you know, said the stewards try to make the best decision that they can. I don't believe in skullduggery when it comes to these decisions. I know a lot of people do, but I think that's just the nature of gambling. So 99.9% of the time, I'm gonna side with the stewards because I've said it many, many times that all the stewards that I've ever dealt with in my life have all been of the highest integrity and put the horses in the game first. And, you know, that's where I stand on most of those issues.
Anthony Stabile, the Big A, had sent out a post just a short time ago saying that if there was ever a time for a double disqualification, that maybe that would be the one. You know, look, I didn't see it live either. So Joel, it's hard to really weigh in on that. But yeah, I think that it was certainly one of those incidences that are going to be talked about for a while here, no doubt about it.
Yeah, my opinion was, I didn't have any skin in the game, but my opinion was that, you know, there is in the shadow of the wire, and that horse was trying to squeeze through a place that wasn't there anyway. So I thought it was an odd call. When I saw it live, I thought it was a no-brainer. Obviously, the head-on made it closer, but I was just curious at what you guys felt.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Joel. Thanks for listening. And again, 888-966-4776. We're going to keep the phone lines open for the next couple of segments right up until 10 o'clock Eastern, so you can weigh in on any of these different topics that you want to weigh in on. You know, look, this has been a year where, and I think this does need to be addressed in thoroughbred racing, Jude, the inconsistencies with different racing jurisdictions and the way that we view infractions, right, in the sport. It's like that with other sports too, though. You look at the NFL, right, and everything that they go through with the referees and what's a catch, what's not a catch, what's a fumble, is this a fumble, is the guy down, is he not down? You know, and you watch an NFL game now, and it becomes almost comical at some point. So it's not just horse racing that deals with this.
No, and what exacerbates the football thing, and I think sometimes in horse racing too, is the fact that the referees don't seem to vary much. But the announcers are always looking for the play to be overturned or, you know, oh, the ball moved. It is perfectly okay for the ball to move. It is not against the rules for the ball to move. It's whether you have control of the ball. You can have control of the ball, and it can be shifting all over the place, but you still have control of the ball. I think it's a misunderstanding of what the rules are.
Yeah, and how about on the horse racing side, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, same deal.
What's a foul? I mean, the horse drifts out, and they bump a little bit, and all of a sudden the horse is disqualified, but then the same thing happens at a different racetrack, and there's no change.
Well,
I think that's the part that frustrates bettors.
It's a little bit easier when there's contact, you know? The question is, you know, does the horse going to lose a position.
Correct. And that should be the question that's asked every time.
And I think it is. And the thing about it is it's a judgment call, you know, whether the horse was hindered enough to cost them a placing, which infers that they would be getting some purse money, more purse money than they would get if it was let stand. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference. I mean, somebody has to make a judgment call, and that's why there's three stewards, because there's a vote. So it's not going to be a tie unless it's unanimous.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, or it's going to stay the same. So I think, you know, the stewards that I've dealt with in my 50 years in racing have always been of the highest quality and really take their job seriously. So I don't believe in all the hocus pocus.
Let's head back out to the phone lines. Ronnie in Louisville on the line. Ronnie, welcome.
Yes, sir, man. I have a comment on the disqualification of the last race yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if the gentleman before said it or not, but there was about $360,000 alive to that 8-horse that actually won the race. And today being the big crowd day because of the U of L and UK ball game, I don't know. It makes me think that the stewards made a shady decision to carry that pot over, and it would have been hit, $360,000, because Kate and Bradar told that about 10 minutes before the race. Had the 1 or the 8 won the race? Well, the 8 actually won the race. So I don't, it's a shady decision to be, but I thought the 7 definitely come over on the 9. Now, I don't have all this replay equipment, so I'm not certain on what the 8 might have done.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie, to me, in my opinion, I don't think, you know, I don't think there's ever any intent to do something that's dishonest on the part of the stewards. As you just said, every steward that we have ever dealt with has been extremely forthright, and I can't ever believe that that's actually the case. But I will say this. I think the bigger issue, and it speaks to this, is just the consistency factor, right? What if we're going to say, okay, then that there is no change in that particular finish yesterday, then if it happens again today at Santa Anita or at Aqueduct or wherever it might be, or Del Mar, I should say, then it needs to be no change. It needs to be consistent across the board. And I think that's the bigger issue. And I think that's where people, where you bring in all the conspiracy theories, because it's not consistent from racetrack to racetrack. And it opens the door for people to make those kind of suggestions.
I agree with that. I have one other question about Bob Baffert, since Jude knows him real well, and I suppose you do too, Mike. How is it that this man, as a trainer, I don't care what the bloodlines say, he puts speed in those horses? No other trainer in America can do that. I know he's got the quarter horse background, but a horse doesn't have to have a speed pedigree to be up in the hunt instantly, and he always has his horses in that first flight.
Well,
three-year-olds, I mean, most of them are right up there. And you think, how's this horse up there? He's not bred to be that quick. Well, he breeds that speed. He trains that speed into them, and they have the endurance to finish, too, most of them.
Yeah, that's the amazing part to me. I mean, you can train horses to be speedy early, and I'm sure you notice Bob's workouts are always on the quick side. I mean, he trains his horses, you know, pretty fast, and he gets them fit. They have long gallop outs, and as a rule, I mean, I always tease him because I tell him since he became a Hall of Fame trainer, he's really gotten good at this game. And I kind of stand by that because, you know, he does some things now that are old school. You'll see him work horses 7/8, once in a while a mile, where he never used to do that before. But he gives his horses a lot of time between races sometimes, and he's gone back to the old school kind of like Charlie Whittingham style of giving them some long works too. But his horses are always trained for speed. He gets them so they're real sharp out of the gate. And that horse that won the other day, Coliseum, they were actually trying to slow him down, and he went wire to wire. He's been trying to run off, and they've been trying to slow him down, but he still went wire to wire.
You know, the other thing is, too, and this is a good point, our good friend Michael Hernan over at Gainesway just sent me a text, and he brings up a great point about Bob Baffert. Obviously, he's listening in on the conversation, but you know, look, Bob is a guy, much like a lot of these great trainers that have success, he doesn't worry as much about the pedigree. He buys the athlete, the individual, and it suits his particular program and his particular training regimen, and I think that goes a long way, too.
Yeah, absolutely. The physical aspects of the horses. I mean, he's spending a lot of money, so he's getting those horses with the big engine, the big rear end, you know, the great walks and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a lot easier to get a horse to show speed when they're built for it, and he certainly got an eye for that. And Donato Lani buys a lot of horses for him, and they're on the same page. So
I'd like to say that I would think most any other trainer would have had Justify, he would have never been on the front end like that big animal could do for under Bob's training.
Yeah,
he was a magnificent looking horse, I'll say that. I saw him in person, but for a horse to have that get up right out of the gate, as huge as he was and so athletic, he was just he was an amazing racehorse.
Yep, no doubt about it. Ronnie in Louisville here.
That way.
Ronnie, I appreciate the phone call. We've got to get to a commercial break. Thanks for calling in and thanks for listening to the show.
We listen to you every weekend. Enjoy it a lot, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. We do have to get to that break. We'll take more of your phone calls. We'll have about 8 or 10 minutes on the other side of this break for more phone calls. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his 4 starts by a combined 20 lengths. A 6-figure September sale purchase, he won impressively in his 2-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At 3, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe, running a 105 buyer and winning by open lengths. Mastery, new for 2018 at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
On the outside, Magic Bow, then 91 Assault. They come past the 16th with Adam Baskitza. In the Navy wins the Mr. Sulu.
In the Navy, the son of Darley Stallion Midshipman tallied his 2nd career stakes victory this past Friday night at Fairgrounds, winning the Mr. Sulu Stakes, while Midshipman's other multiple stakes winning son, Big Changes, just missed in his greatest stakes debut on Saturday, running 2nd by a half a length in the Grade 3 River City Handicap at Churchill Downs. In the Navy and Big Changes, your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion 2-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, stands the 2019 breeding season value-priced at $8,500. Learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is jockey Julian Lopau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Reflect has closed ground around the far turn, coming to the quarter pole, is up to 3rd. 3 lengths from the front, Malocchio is 4th. Top of the short stretch, Restless Rider challenging Meadow Dance, and Reflect tries to join them, 3rd on the far outside. Restless Rider into the final furlong of the Darley Alcibiades, opening up on a 4-length lead. Reflect is 2nd, Meadow Dance is 3rd, Chocolate Kisses from far back to 4th. but Restless Rider wins it for Brian Hernandez Jr. Reflect was second, Meadow Dance ran big to be third, and Chocolate Kisses made up a lot of ground to be fourth.
Welcome back. Mike Pena, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Kurt Becker with the call of the Darley Alcibiades Restless Rider. Much the best that day. Very impressive. She's back in action later today in the Goldenrod at Churchill Downs. She's the morning line favorite for trainer Kenny McPeak. Taking your phone calls, 888-966-4776. This is something we don't typically do here on the Equine Forum on Saturday mornings, but in honor of being so thankful for our listeners and giving back, we wanted to give you a chance to weigh in and be part of the show this morning. So we have 7 or 8 minutes before our next commercial break, our final break. Time to squeeze in a couple of more phone calls. 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Give us a call. Anything that's on your mind in the world of thoroughbred racing, whether it's Derby futures or, well, we've had a lot of conversation about disqualifications and some of those decisions. You can weigh in on anything you want to. 888-966-4776. As we wait for the next call to come in, we'll go ahead and bring you our KTOB spotlight segment for this morning and remind you that Kentucky Breds continue to make a huge impact on the racing scene, both here and abroad. At this year's Breeders' Cup held at Churchill, Kentucky Breds won 8 of the championship races, nearly 4 times more than all other states combined. In 5 Breeders' Cup races, Kentucky Breds ran 1-2, the Classic, the Sprint, the Dirt Mile, the Juvenile Fillies, and the Juvenile Turf Sprint. Nearly 70% of all other winners of Grade 1 races in North America are Kentucky bred. Let that sink in for a minute. Nearly 70%. And in international racing this season, Kentucky Breds enjoyed success with 40 group stakes victories, 10 Group 1 stakes, and accounted for 122 group wins and placings. The 3-year-old Roaring Lion, recently named the 2018 Cartier Horse of the Year, was also bred in Kentucky. And it's important to remember that unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky bred group winners are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide. It does pay to breed and race in Kentucky. Learn more at KentuckyBred.org. Staggering numbers.
Yeah, I'm very impressive. Yeah, there's just no question about it.
Yeah, staggering. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Again, 888-966-4776, the number to get in. Larry in Long Island on the line. Larry, welcome.
Welcome. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Okay. Everybody's making a big deal about the 2-year-old not winning the Derby. You have to be raced as a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Justify was a pure freak, a total freak. I mean, he did. I think that thing is going to hold true again for many, many years. You're not going to get a horse as good as Justify.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if Justify is getting the respect that he deserves for that Triple Crown campaign last year. I really don't. I think when American Pharoah won it, because we had had such a long gap and he broke that losing streak, let's say, I think American Pharoah got a lot more fanfare than Justify is, because he came right on the heels and he did it just a couple of years after American Pharoah. Jude, what do you think? I don't think he gets the respect he deserves. And I think his campaign is arguably more impressive than American Pharoah.
Well, his campaign was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it in such a short period of time, and it was a magnificent series of races. And I think you're right. I think it's mainly because American Pharoah had done it and broke the drought. And then, a couple years later, we get Justify. So instead of being grateful for having 2 Triple Crown winners, people just pass it off as like, oh, I guess it's easy now. I guess they're not going to change the space between the races and all the stuff that people were saying before that it was too hard to win. So,
Larry, you're 100% right. I don't think there's any doubt about it. This horse was as good a racehorse as we have seen in a very long time.
Yeah, I wish they would break the field up into horses not listed that have run as a 2-year-old or not run as a 2-year-old.
The Kentucky Derby?
Yes. Yes, on the future play.
Oh, on the future plays. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. I think that's part of the intrigue of trying to figure out, who's going to win the Kentucky Derby. I think they're going to keep it lumped together because I think that's part of the intrigue and the strategy a lot of people will employ now in trying to pick the winner.
Okay, thanks for taking my
Larry,
call.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening. Time for one more call before we get to that final break. If you call quickly, 888-966-4776. The line now open, 888-966-4776. You know, that's for people, Jude. There are people out there now, and in any other year, this argument would hold water. That accelerate, based on the year that he has had, should be horse of the year. And there's some debate about that. Look, you win the Triple Crown, you're horse of the year, right? It's only happened, what, 13 times. If you win the Triple Crown, you are horse of the year. This is such a difficult accomplishment in our sport. And just because it's happened two times in recent memory doesn't make it any less significant.
No. I think the conversation is just that conversation. I think at the end of the day, most people that have a vote on the Eclipse Awards will, you know, realize what's really going on.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any way that Justify isn't Horse of the Year.
No, I don't think so either.
It just doesn't happen. Like you said, it's more just conversation now, just to kind of kick around out there. But there have been people who are trying to make a case for Accelerate, and let's face it, with the year he's had, any other year, Accelerate's Horse of the Year.
Yeah, he had a great year. He had a magnificent year. But, you know,
At the end of the day,
does it really matter? Does it really matter?
What's that?
Who's horse of the year?
Oh, I think so.
Why?
I think it's a huge... Yeah, I think so. I think especially when, you know, if the horse goes to stud, hey, we stand the horse of the year. I think it's a big deal. I do.
People aren't going to breed to Justify if he's not horse of the year.
No, I'm not saying that.
People are not going to breed to Accelerate if he's not horse of the year. I mean, I don't think it has any impact on what a horse is as a future stallion. It's just an award.
Yeah, well, it is just an award. Yeah, that is completely true. 888-966-4776. I think we're going to go back out to the phone lines here in a minute. Real quick, Justify's campaign, more impressive than what we saw from American Pharoah?
I wouldn't say that, but some people might.
Yeah, I mean, having not started as a two-year-old, right? Not debating until February.
He accomplished was great, but, you know, comparing those horses, American Pharoah had a much longer campaign, so it's hard to compare.
Jim in Brooklyn on the line. Jim, welcome.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you.
Just a listener. Been around the game for about 50 years now. As you can tell, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. But I'm going to share with you my two favorite racing stories. At Hollywood Park, way back when I first got married, I'm sitting at a table, and the next table over is Gene Klein. We didn't have a cell phone then. And he's on the phone. He owned the Chargers at the time. He's with the agent for Lance Allworth, who was giving him a hard time. And he says, listen, Lady Secret won a stakes race for me on Saturday and did not demand more oats on Sunday. And he hung up the phone. And then my other best story is one morning early, walking on the backstretch at Saratoga, I walked by and Mr. Nehru was sitting there. And I went over to him and I said, I have to tell you, my favorite horse of all time was Dr. Fager. And he says to me, what do you know about Dr. Fager? I said, well, the first time he ran, David Hidalgo rode him. And I was hooked. And he goes, oh, sit down. So we're talking. And I said, the best I ever saw. And he says, well, Woody Stevens will try and tell you that Danzig was better than him. And he said, the doctor would have looked him in the eye and walked right away from him. And, I said, why did you write Ikaza? And he slams the table and he says, I wrote Ikaza. He says, because I would talk to him, tell him what I wanted him to do with the horse. And as soon as the bell rang, he forgot everything. just wanted to share those with you guys. Yeah, you bring a lot of enlightenment to the game. And by the way, Ignacio Carreras' horse is today in that race with that eighth race. That ninth race at Churchill today.
Yeah, the Golden Rod.
Be well, guys. Happy New Year, and happy birthday to all the horses next year.
Jim, you got it. Jim in Brooklyn, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening, Jim, and happy New Year to you as well. Great stories.
Yeah.
That's part of what makes this game so special, right? You walk around the racetrack, you talk to people, you hear these different stories, especially about some of the old-time trainers, old-time jockeys. That is all part of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah. Well, Gene Klein, he was a great guy. I trained for Lance Allworth.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. Lance is a great guy.
And Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I was like a name drop for you there.
Yeah, you're a big name dropper.
He was in a league of his own, right? He was just a different type of...
he wasn't in that movie.
No, I know he wasn't. I know he wasn't, but he was just a... No, I mean, he himself, like, in a league of his own,
yes.
Right? I mean, just a different type of individual, man. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to a break, and we'll come back and tell you what's ahead, what you can expect next week on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man, a precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Barrage Barrage, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war, will take charge of final man. Mucho Macho Man!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Fortin Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
World-class thoroughbred racing is back at Churchill Downs with an action-packed fall meet running through Sunday, November 25th. The 129th fall meet showcases lofty purse levels thanks to early returns from state-of-the-art historical racing machines at Derby City Gaming. Horsemen will compete for more than $41 million in prize money with average daily purses totaling over $648,000, a 29.7% increase from last fall's meet, and maiden special weight purses are now worth a record $76,000. Make plans now to attend the Churchill Downs fall meet running through November 25th.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Flowers for Lisa has him on the ropes, it appears. Confidently handled by Paco Lopez and moves away by two. On the outside, Flashy Jewel tries to stay with him. Second, Diamond Bachelor has room to quicken if he's good enough, and he is coming on. Final furlong, Lopez wakes up Flowers for Lisa, who maintains control. Diamond Bachelor is second, Flashy Jewel on the outside. But through it all, Flowers from Lisa will go gate to wire to win it. Flowers for Lisa by a length and a half. Close for second, maybe Flashy Jewel over Diamond Bachelor. Also close for the minors involving Capital Letters and Turco Bravo in 148 and 3.
That was last year's Claiming Crown Jewel and Flowers for Lisa. Pete Aiello had the call. You're going to hear the Claiming Crown right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network next Saturday afternoon. You'll want to make sure you visit horseracingradio.net for more information as we move closer throughout the week. You'll be able to hear that coverage, Sirius XM Channel 93. And, of course, you can always stream us worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. JT is going to be making the trip to Gulfstream Park. It's opening day of the championship meet. JT, you're going to host this show from there with our good friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, as all of that Claiming Crown coverage next Saturday afternoon is presented by Red Brand. And then trainer Chuck Simon going to sit in with you as your analyst on the coverage next Saturday afternoon. That should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good. Chuck and I go back a long ways, and we should have an enjoyable afternoon. Hope the weather cooperates.
Yeah, it usually does when you're in South Florida, especially at this time of year. But the championship meet beginning next Saturday with that claiming crown should be a good one. And again, check our website, horseracingradio.net, for more information. And of course, for the podcast of this particular program, it's going to be up in just a few minutes. You can go back and listen at your leisure and listen to all of our shows, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to all of our guests this morning, Mark Toothaker from Spendthrift, Ed DeRosa from Briss and Twin Spires, trainer Brad Cox, and of course the callers who took the time to call in there when we opened up the phone lines the past couple of segments. It's been a fun show, and looking forward to next Saturday in South Florida, JT.
Yeah, yeah. I am definitely looking forward to being warm for a few days.
All right, our thanks to our crew. Of course, our producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio. Chauncey, Sean C., for handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I am Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.